Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It all happened on a Tuesday night. The phone rang just as I was about to crack open a beer and sit down on the couch. I wasn't expecting any calls, much less from the cemetery where I worked. I'll tell you the truth. I hated that job, but it paid well and someone had to do it. It didn't have bad hours and, well...
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Someone had to do it. Anyway, on the other end of the line was my boss, in a tense, hurried tone of voice. Richard had an accident on the way to the cemetery. He's unconscious and in the hospital. I need you to cover his shift tonight. I didn't have much choice. I was mad as hell, but I agreed, cursing under my breath. I got dressed and drove to the cemetery. It was a quiet, cold night. I had already been cold all weekend and had only been able to rest on Monday. The last thing I needed was to work 3 or 4 days a week. I arrived at the cemetery and found everything quiet, as usual. I checked the security checkpoint, picked up the flashlight and the radio, and started my shift. I walked along the paths, passing by rows in disrepair. It was funny how many people could be afraid of the place. Once you get used to it, it is kind of monotonous. As you can imagine, it wasn't my first time working nights. In fact, it was almost the only shift I ever worked. Every night was really boring, and this one was no exception. After a couple of hours doing rounds, the routine had started to lull me to sleep. Everything was so quiet and predictable that I almost wished something would break the calm. But when something finally happened, I knew I had wished for the wrong thing. On one of the laps around the perimeter of the cemetery, I saw something that shouldn't be there. In the background, in an area that was rarely visited, there was a reddish glow. At first, I thought someone was setting a fire, perhaps a group of gothic teenagers trying to perform some small ritual. This happened more than you'd think. All I had to do was shine a flashlight on them and they'd run away. But as I got closer, I realized that this was much worse. A group of hooded people were gathered around a fire. These were not teenagers, and the group was quite large. What I saw next made my blood run cold. They were digging up a corpse. The movements were methodical, as if they had done this many times before. At that moment, I realized I was really in danger. I pulled out my phone with trembling hands and recorded the scene. My heart was pounding in my ears as I sent the video to my boss, not thinking too hard about what I was doing. Fear began to grip me. I knew I couldn't just stand there watching what they were doing. I needed to hide somewhere safe and call the police. I ran carefully to my sentry box, but as I was about to enter, I saw something that paralyzed me. Two of those hooded men were in front of the sentry box, going through my belongings. They were moving calmly, but seemed confused about something. That's when I realized something. Until then, they didn't expect to find my things. They were realizing that I was in the cemetery. I felt a shiver run down my spine. I couldn't go back there. Those guys were waiting for me. I decided to flee to the back door, a seldom used access that hardly anyone knew about. It was my only way out. I ran with my heart in my throat, keeping to the shadows, praying they wouldn't see me. But when I reached the back door, I saw that it was covered by two other hooded men. They were vigilant, watching for any movement. I hid behind a nearby sarcophagus, trying to control my breathing. Adrenaline was hitting me hard, and I could barely think straight. I was trapped. There was no way out. Then a flashlight moved in my direction, illuminating my hiding place. They had found me. I didn't think, I just reacted. I jumped up and ran, ramming the man with the flashlight. After that, I just kept running, not knowing where to, just panicking. The hooded men were shouting something, but I didn't stop to listen. I heard their footsteps behind me. They were chasing me. Desperation gave me speed, but I knew I couldn't run forever. I saw the cemetery wall in the distance. This was the lowest wall, but it was still quite high. If I could reach it, I could jump over it and escape, and I ran with all my strength. If I didn't make this jump, I would die. When I reached the wall, I jumped and managed to catch myself with my hands on the edge, but I didn't have enough momentum to go up. I felt a hand grab my ankle and pull me down. I screamed, kicking hard, trying to break free, but more hands joined in, and in an instant, I was on the ground, surrounded. I tried to struggle, to strike, but there were too many of them. I felt several blows on my head and the rest of my body. I began to scream in desperation, and one of them covered my mouth while the rest of them dragged me through the cemetery. Before I knew it, the hooded men had taken me to the center of their ritual. The air was permeated with the acrid smell of smoke and, worse, something putrid. I looked around, dazed, and saw the leader of the cult. His face was hidden under a black hood, but they were clearly staring at me. I was bound hand and foot, unable to resist. I was weak, confused, scared. They led me to an open sarcophagus, and when I saw it, I felt my stomach turn. Inside was a corpse in an advanced state of decomposition. Flesh hung in shreds from the bones, and the stench was unbearable. Before I could react, I was thrown into the sarcophagus next to the corpse. I felt its cold, wet flesh against my skin. I couldn't scream, and I tried not to vomit as I had tape on my mouth, but the smell was too strong and too foul. I knew the smell could be worse, but since they had opened the sarcophagus much earlier, the concentrated smell was gone. That was the only thing that saved me that night from vomiting and choking. Anyway, at that moment, I thought I was dead. I tried to escape, but it was useless. They closed the sarcophagus and began to pour earth over it. The darkness enveloped me completely, and all I could do was try to scream and cry as they buried me alive next to that corpse. Time passed and passed, and I was squeezed, feeling the spaces getting smaller and smaller, understanding that soon I would run out of air or die in this small space. I don't know how much time passed. The silence was absolute, except for my gasping breaths and the sobs I could not contain. The air in the sarcophagus was thick, charged with the putrefaction of the corpse next to me. Despair was taking me, and every second that passed brought me closer to madness. Then, suddenly, the sound of the earth falling on the sarcophagus ceased. The voices outside died away, leaving a sepulchral silence. I banged my head on the lid, screaming for help, though I knew no one would hear me. But, against all odds, the lid began to lift. Light and fresh air entered the sarcophagus as I saw the faces of the policeman and my boss. I felt a huge relief, so much so that I almost fainted. As soon as he woke up and saw the message, my boss called the police, who arrived just in time. The hooded men fled out the back door as soon as they heard the sirens. I was rushed to the hospital immediately. Part of me still thought I was dreaming. I was still with the corpse and was going completely crazy, but after a while, I could understand that it was all over. After much discovery and questioning by the police, Richard, the man I covered his shift for, told me what had really happened. He was part of that cult, and he let them into the cemetery during his shifts to perform their rituals. Everything was planned for that night, but his accident ruined everything. He couldn't let them know he wouldn't be there, and that's why they found me. That night, I was supposed to die. The only thing that saved me was that this sect was supposedly peaceful, and although they also made sacrifices, they never shed blood. They had a law among them which said that man comes from nature and must perish in nature. And if the police did not arrive in time, that was going to happen. I was about to die suffocated in a crate next to another corpse eaten by maggots, and all because Richard, the other guard, ran a red light and had that accident.
When I was offered that job, I thought it would be easy. Looking after a supermarket at night in a quiet neighborhood in Mexico City didn't seem like a complicated task. I had been unemployed for months, and honestly, I couldn't afford to turn down an offer. My financial situation was not the best, and the pay, while not a fortune, was okay. The owner of the supermarket, let's just say that people usually didn't like him, but even he treated me well, because, from what he told me, it was difficult to find people for that particular shift. Let's face it, the reason he hired me was, in itself, kind of extreme. There was no reason to guard a supermarket at night, but this supermarket was different. During the nights, there were reports of things disappearing or changing positions. The owner of the place didn't look for any paranormal answers. He was convinced that it could only be a human, and I don't blame him. My only job was to patrol the place, make sure no vandals or thieves entered, and make rounds every hour. Easy. Or so I thought. My first night started quietly. I arrived at the supermarket around 10 o'clock, just as the last customer was leaving. The owner handed me the keys and gave me a quick tour of the place. It wasn't big, about 5 rows of shelves, a toy section, and a checkout area. Everything seemed to be in order. I turned on my flashlight and began my first round. I checked every corner, every shelf, making sure everything was in its place. I finished and started again, making the rounds over and over, all night. It seemed that whoever was vandalizing this place stopped whenever they saw a security person. This meant that I would have a quiet night. Then, I heard their laughter. It was not just any laughter. It was childish, almost like that of a small child, but something was disturbing about it. Something that made my skin crawl. At first, I thought I was imagining things. That tiredness was playing a trick on me. I wasn't used to staying up so late, so surely I figured that was it. But no, the laughter continued. Soft at first, then louder, more insistent. It was coming from the toy section, a place I had already checked several times. I turned off the flashlight and stood still, listening, trying to locate the exact source of the sound. The laughter faded for a moment, leaving me in an even deeper silence than before. Just as I was beginning to think I had imagined it all, something fell from a shelf, breaking the silence. It was a toy, a small rag doll that had fallen from the top shelf for no apparent reason. I went to pick it up. I picked it up and examined it, but there was nothing strange about it. I put it back in its place and made sure that it was properly arranged. However, as I walked away, the doll fell again, this time without even touching the shelf. And again, I heard that laugh, closer now, as if someone was right behind me. I turned on the flashlight quickly and spun on my heels, expecting to find someone behind me. But there was no one, just an empty hallway. My mind raced, trying to find a logical explanation for what had just happened to me. But nothing had made sense. I bent down to pick up the doll again. But this time, I felt something on my back, as if someone or something was watching me, waiting for me to make a mistake. I ignored what I had felt and put the doll back. I couldn't let myself get carried away by fear. I was surely being suggestible by all the stories that I had heard, and if I let that happen to me, that night was going to be a nightmare. But as I made my way down the halls, the sounds intensified. What was soft laughter at first turned into full-on laughter, loudly. They came from everywhere, bouncing off of the walls and shelves as if the supermarket itself was taunting me. The toys began to move. First, they were small things like a cart that rolled slowly across the floor or a ball that bounced once before stopping. But then, the dolls began to turn their heads towards me, one by one, as if they were watching me. The laughter became unbearable. A chorus of childish voices filling the air, making it heavy and suffocating. I tried to remain calm, to repeat to myself that there was nothing to worry about. But every time I did, something else would happen. A shelf would shake,
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A stuffed animal would fall to the floor, and electronic toys began to light up on their own. It was as if the supermarket was coming to life. Just for me. I could no longer ignore it. I decided to leave the toy section and head for the front door. I needed air. I needed to get out of that place. If only for a few minutes. But when I got to the entrance, the door, which should have been locked, was ajar. Suddenly, I saw fingers sticking out from behind the door, and a horrible, horrible huge face peering through it. I didn't know what it was, but I acted instinctively and went to close the door. I closed it tightly, making sure it couldn't open again. But when I turned to go back to the main section of the supermarket, I felt a pressure in my chest, as if something was crushing me. The aisles felt longer than I had remembered, and my breathing became impossible. I was having a panic attack. I couldn't stay in that supermarket a second longer, but I was afraid to go outside. This was a nightmare. I panicked and ran to the manager's office, a small room at the end of one of the hallways. I locked myself in there, locking the door and leaning my back against it, trying to control myself. Outside, the sounds continued, but they felt more distant, as if someone knew that I was hiding, and they were waiting for me to come out. I turned on the security camera, but to my horror, all the screen showed was static. There were no recordings, no images. I was alone. I kept trying to breathe. I knew I couldn't stay in the office forever. Eventually, I would have to go out and face whatever was out there. To hell with this job. My goal was simple. Get out of this place as soon as possible. I opened the door slowly, peeking my head out to make sure the hallway was clear. There was nothing, not a sound. The supermarket seemed to have returned to its normal state as if nothing had happened. That gave me quite a bit of peace of mind, but at the same time, I wasn't planning to stay a second longer. I ran towards the front door, my only way out, my only hope to escape from that nightmare. But before I got there, I saw him. At first, I thought my eyes were deceiving me. But this was real. A tall, dark figure loomed at the end of the hallway, blocking my path. He was huge, over 6 feet tall, with pale, glowing skin. There were no clothes, but his body lacked any distinguishing features. It had no genitals, no navel, just a smooth, unnatural surface. Most terrifying was its face, or what must have been its face. It had a grotesquely wide grin with sharp, uneven teeth that glowed in the dark. Its eyes were two black, empty shafts that seemed to absorb what little light was left in the supermarket. The figure didn't move. He just stood there, watching me. I could not breathe. I felt like my heart was going to burst out of my chest. I tried to back away, but my legs didn't respond. I was paralyzed, trapped by the gaze of that thing that looked like something out of a liminal horror movie. Finally, it began to move slowly, one step at a time, as if it had all the time in the world. I don't know how I found the strength to move, but I did. I screamed, spun on my heels, and ran for the manager's office door. I didn't care about anything but getting away from that thing. But as I ran, I could feel its presence approaching, getting closer and closer as if it was right behind me. I made it to the office and slammed the door shut. I threw myself against the door, trying to block it with my body. All I could remember after that was trying to stay, covering the exit with my body. while that being tried to open it from behind. And suddenly, quiet. In a story where I saw a monster, heard voices, and witnessed paranormal events, this is undoubtedly the strangest part of the story. I don't remember how I left the supermarket that night. My mind is a blur of distorted images, of fear and despair. All I know is that as the sun began to rise, I was found on the sidewalk in front of the supermarket, panting, trembling, and completely terrified. I could not explain to them what had happened, because even I had no idea what had happened. The supermarket owner tried to question me, but I said nothing. I just walked away, without looking back, leaving my flashlight and my dignity there. I never went near that supermarket again. I never even passed through that street. The following days were very difficult. I couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. I quit my job, left the city, and moved as far away as I could. Maybe you think I'm exaggerating, but if you had been there, lived and witnessed the things that I did, you would understand. And you would have left too.
Hey, I'm Douglas, and I've always been someone who enjoys working at night. There was always something about the darkness and solitude that gave me enough peace of mind and let me work relaxed. That is, until one night. One Friday night when everything would end and my life would be marked forever. You may wonder why I enjoyed working at night so much. I tried to work all shifts, but I never felt comfortable. When I worked in the morning, I slept in and it was bad. When I worked in the afternoon, I felt like I was wasting the whole day. Working at night always seemed ideal, especially for someone with a nightlife like mine. Not everything about working this shift appealed to me, though. Staying late at night and working at the gas station wasn't my idea of fun on a Friday night, but I guess someone had to do it. Besides, the extra pay was always welcome. It used to be pretty quiet with the occasional stray truck or car that needed refueling, but as I told you earlier, everything would change that Friday night. Around midnight, as I stood behind the counter, I heard the sound of a car approaching. There was nothing out of the ordinary, so I got ready to serve the customer. I left my cell phone with my video game on pause, and rather sleepy and unwilling to work, I looked out to see the customer. But when I looked out the window, I found a car parked right in front of the service station, with the lights on and the engine running. This in itself was unusual, but the strange thing was that there was no one inside. Rubbing my eyes to make sure I wasn't hallucinating from sleep, I got out to investigate. I approached the abandoned car with an uneasy feeling growing in my stomach. I knew that what I was doing was a bad idea. Most of my coworkers on the night shift would lock the gas station until they saw a customer, but just for the laziness of having to open it every so often, I never did. At that moment, I realized it was a bad idea. When I got to the car, I looked out the window slightly but saw nothing but empty seats. What in the hell? I admit I was very uncomfortable. I was always a very religious person and a believer in the paranormal, and there was undeniably something weird going on here. I turned around to go back into the store. This time I would be sure to lock the doors. As I walked, the thought of the paranormal went away and I thought something worse could be happening. Why be afraid of ghosts when this could be a human's trap to get me out of the gas station? I desperately went inside and locked the door. Something was very wrong. I could feel it. The only good thing was that I was safe inside the place, but I couldn't be careless. Maybe a person was hiding inside. Maybe a person was hiding outside waiting to attack a customer. I approached the counter and pressed the emergency button. Whether or not there was a stalker outside, the fact that someone had left a car running was reason enough to suspect something strange. Once I pressed the button, it was only a matter of time before the police would arrive. So I relaxed in my seat, until I heard a sound inside the gas station. I stood up terrified and looked at the sound. Someone was inside with me. I couldn't see who it was as one of the gondolas was blocking that area, but it was coming from the refrigerators. I quickly looked at the cameras and that area was empty. Was I going crazy? I looked up and looked in front of me again to see if anyone had moved, and that's when the worst happened. When I regained consciousness, I found myself tied to a chair at the back of the store. I'd like to tell you that I had a fierce fight with my attacker and that I was knocked out by a blow, but to be honest, I remember absolutely nothing of what happened in those seconds. My head was throbbing with pain and my hands were tied tightly behind me, so I could assume that this man hit me in the head and I passed out. The weird thing was that the smell in the place had changed. Something smelled bad, but I was too confused to figure out what. I looked around and saw the sinister man who had attacked me, watching me with a big smile.
"What the hell are you doing? Let me go!"
Before answering me, the man let out a small laugh.
"You're really bad at your job. You know anyone else would have made it a little harder for me."
"What are you talking about? Call the police! Get out of here now!"
"You sure did, buddy.
Do you think someone innocent enough to go exploring an empty car in the middle of the night is going to intimidate me? Think twice. Although come to think of it, even for someone like you, it might be easy to push an emergency button."
Take all you want. I'm completely immobilized. Just get it over quickly. I'll say you had a mask or something. I don't care if you don't get caught. I'm just an employee."
"Oh, that is cute. You think I'm here to steal, don't you? It makes sense. It's the obvious thing to do."
"What do you want, then?"
Without answering me, the man threw a liquid all over my body. That liquid had a very familiar smell. It was the same smell I felt when I woke up, the same smell I had been smelling since I started working at the gas station. Now I understood everything. The smell, what was the man throwing at me? It was gasoline.
"No, wait, please don't."
"Did you see it?
It wasn't that hard, even someone as slow as you could tell." "Why? What have I done to you?"
You? Nothing. Don't think you're so important. Nobody has done anything to me. I'm the one who will do it.
What can I tell you? I like fire. I like explosions. I like trying to take pictures from a distance. And with you, I have a new fascination. I don't want to die.
You know what I want to do with you? Before the place explodes, I want to take pictures from a distance and watch your skin melt and stick to the chair.
I want to see you scream and your death to be slow and excessively agonizing. You have no idea what a night you will put me through.
Before I go, I will move your seat and look for the perfect angle.
My eyes widened as the man pulled out a lighter and lit it with a snap. My heart began to pound in my chest as he slowly approached me, the light from the lighter dancing in his dark eyes. Just as the man prepared to set fire, I heard the sound of sirens approaching. The police. They had responded to the emergency call I had made before I was knocked out.
"So it was true, huh? That doesn't change anything for you."
The man approached me to set me on fire, but before he did, I used all my strength to stand tied up and ram him. We both fell to the floor, but I was able to get up and run to the exit door. I tried to open it with my body, but it was locked. It was locked!
Meanwhile, I could hear the man behind me. He was already standing again, with the lighter in his hand, and threw the lighter on the floor and the flames started to spread all over the place. I thought I was going to die. The door wouldn't open and I couldn't get out. Suddenly, the police came to the window and asked me to run. With two shots, the glass exploded and the cops helped me to escape. We ran as far as we could, afraid that everything would explode, but that never happened. The firemen arrived quickly, alerted by the security cameras that my boss was also secretly watching. The fire never left the store, as the psycho didn't throw enough gasoline or bother to carry it outside, and the firemen did an excellent job of stopping the fire. Soon after, I found out that the psycho had tried to escape out the back door, but since the gas station was in the middle of nowhere and he no longer had his car, he was arrested a few blocks away by another patrol car that was coming into the area. Once he was arrested, he was asked again why he tried to set the place on fire with me inside. His answer was even scarier than the one he told me. He just said, "For funsies." As you can imagine, I quit the service station and never worked that shift again. I would rather work in my sleep or miss the afternoon than experience a similar situation again. Surprisingly, the morning shift turned out to be pretty good, but there is not a day that goes by that I think what happened to me was just bad luck.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And if I meet the wrong person like that night, it could happen to me again.
no matter what schedule or job I have.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.